Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, we all know that grief is a very individual thing. Everyone grieves at a different pace. A new reality dating programme, My Mam, Your Dad, on UK television this week, has sparked a conversation around how much time should you let pass before you start to date after the death of a spouse or partner. Liz Gleeson is a grief psychotherapist and curator of the Shapes of Grief podcast. She joins us now on the line. Liz, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. This is a really tricky one, isn't it? Because I don't know, is it possible, do you think, to put even a minimum time in it before you date after the death of a partner or spouse?
It really isn't possible at all. It's so individual and there's no set of rules. But, you know, we do know from research that there's certain commonalities from person to person that can help us guide our decisions, you know, around dating after a significant loss. You know, for example, in the early weeks and months, we call that the acute phase of grief, you know, when we're wearing lenses of loss and we're going through life, you know, with our grief heavy on our shoulders and, you know, looking at everything we say and do through this lens of loss. But as time goes on and as we start to re-engage with life again, we start to get used to it. We get used to carrying it. We integrate it into our life and we start to see things through clearer lenses again and be more available to other things rather than just the weight of our loss and the weight of our grief.
So would it be fair to say then that at least in the early weeks, like, you know, maybe the eight weeks, I don't know, 12 weeks, you know, 16 weeks, I don't know. But in those earlier sort of weeks or months, as you say, when you're seeing everything through this lens of grief, that's not just a good idea to get into a new relationship. It's not a good idea for you or for another person.
I think, you know, like, it's so hard to put a number on it, but it's fair to say for sure that in those early weeks and those early months, like, we're not sleeping a lot of the time if we've had a big loss. We're ruminating about the past and what's happened. We're maybe going to our doctor because we're getting more sick than usual. You know, we're prone to anxiety, insomnia. It's not very fertile ground to start a new relationship. Although the loneliness and the anxiety that we can feel after significant loss can move us towards that direction, it's not usually great ground. But for some people, it works, you know. So who are we to say, don't do it? Some people do jump into relationships very quickly and find a way to make it work. It's so individual.
Is there a rule of thumb, though, Liz? I think the answer to all of these questions is no, generally. But is there a rule of thumb, I wonder, about the death of a spouse or a partner, that it just you need to take your time a little bit more?
I know people colloquially say, don't make any big decisions in the first year. And I suppose that's because everybody's going through everything for the first time. And they're remembering maybe this time last year when my spouse, you know, was still alive. And there's an awful lot to process. Grief isn't just sadness either. Like, when we're used to having someone we love beside us in the world, it really takes a long time for our brain to adjust to the reality that they're no longer here. And that can take anything from 6 to 12 to 18 months. So I suppose it's a good idea to wait till we've mostly adjusted to the new reality and that our grief, you know, it doesn't go away, but it becomes easier to manage. And as we get better at carrying it, we've more space for love. So we want to wait, you know, till we have the availability to be able to engage with someone else and be interested in them. And that generally doesn't happen in the first 6 or 12 months.
Do you know, it strikes me as well, and maybe we should say this, that some people might not want another relationship after they lose a spouse or a partner. And maybe that's okay too. But have you ever seen somebody get stuck in a stage of grief or in the acute stage of grief that doesn't allow them, whatever they're doing, doesn't allow them to progress in life, if that's the right thing to do?
Yeah, to move forward. That's what we would say. We'd say we don't move on from grief, but we move forward. Mm-hmm. And for sure, there's people who, do not find a way to move forward. And actually, there's a term for this. We know that for about 10% of bereaved people, they'll develop something known as prolonged grief disorder. Now, it's awful to put the word disorder with grief, but it's not so much that the grief is wrong, but it's everything else in their life. They're just not adjusting. They're looking backwards all of the time. They're finding it really hard to re-engage with life. They might have intrusive thoughts, constant yearning, constant rumination. So it's not just grief, but there's a range of symptoms that make life really, really difficult to bear. And that happens for about 10% of the bereaved population. And in my experience, most of those people will start to Google, you know, what's going on with me, still grieving after 3 years, and they look for support for that. Help.
Okay, so then let's go to the opposite end of the scale, and you have the person who's out on the dating scene after, I'm not going to put a number on it because I don't want to be judgmental, but in a time frame that their friends and their family and perhaps their adult children, for example, find insulting. You know, to the lost spouse or partner, what do you do with this?
Yeah, I know. And that can be so tricky because on one hand, we want our bereaved loved ones, you know, say it's a parent, we want them to be okay. But if we're still grieving deeply, maybe the death of our mother and our father starts to date, it can be really painful. It can be really hard for adult children. And there's very little they can do about that except bear the pain of that. You know, it's almost like a secondary loss, right? It's like the first loss is the death of their beloved mother. And then the second loss is the availability of their father and having to adapt to all this newness. Now, you said the word judgment there. And I think when it comes to grief and bereavement, there's so many judgments, you know. Everybody will be judged for going to the grave too much or not going to the grave enough or being too happy or not being sad enough. You know, we all have judgments, and it's important that everybody is allowed to grieve in their own individual way. Okay. But for sure, there are situations that become really tricky when someone does find love again. And maybe family feel, does that mean they've forgotten them? Does that mean we don't matter anymore? But hopefully, if everybody is adult enough, all of there'll be space made, you know, for all of these emotions, and love will win out because everyone does deserve to love again.
Well, on that beautiful note, Liz, we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for joining us. That is Liz Gleeson, grief psychotherapist. You can let us know what you think to 51551.